Blog Talk Radio.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Okay, good afternoon and welcome, folks, to the latest show on this trip of knowledge that we call the NWCR show, where we are the crossroads of policy, politics, and the Constitution. We lurk in the shadows of liberalism to expose the lies and distortions of the truth that the left tells, so we can report them to the American people so they can have an informed idea on what is really going on. And now, on to today's show. David Bossie on Friday said President Donald Trump remains laser beam focused on protecting America. And it seems that the liberal left in this country just cannot stand that. And the normal person would have to ask, why? To get people to forget what this country really is and what its freedoms really stand for. And sadly, they have succeeded beyond anyone's wildest dreams. One of the proofs of this is an ad on WIBC in Indianapolis before the election was going on, where this man goes on a tirade against letting this democracy go down the tubes, and it takes work to keep it. The script for the ad goes something like this. The man, almost shouting, says, "It's not easy to keep a democracy like this. A democracy like this takes work and people willing to get out and vote." Like I've said over and over again, this is not a democracy. And this ad was sponsored by the Attorney General of the state in Indiana or some such official who should freaking know better. And I was going to try and get the audio for this, but I waited actually too darn long, and the election is over, so they're not running it anymore, and they're not playing it anymore either. So I didn't get this audio, which was kind of sad, because it was actually kind of awesome, because it tells what the left has succeeded in this country. And why we really have to fight to keep what is going on, and you know, to keep this nation safe and as it was founded. And that is the reason for this show. You are listening to a New Wise Conservatism radio show through Conservative Nation Media, and we will be right back in a moment or two, so stay tuned.
Roger that. News sources that there is serious talk of Antifa having a nationwide protest slash riot. I think it was like November 4th or 3rd.
That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Of the New Wise Conservatism radio show with your host, Robert Garding. At the rate our leaders are ignoring our Constitution, we're finding that they cannot lead, nor do they want to keep us safe from our enemies. And yes, we have some. From the crossroads of America, the New Wise Conservatism radio show is brought to you through the traditional American Patriot Network with the Doctor of this Republic, showing that the truth can be told to save this nation. And now, on with the show.
Thank you.
Okay, we are back. I was looking at the page on my phone to see if the announcement for this show is on, but didn't see it. So hopefully it will show up sooner or later. It's supposed to be there now. Well, welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. And the call-in number here on the NWCR show is 646-478-5284 if you want to talk. Because, folks, and let me put this in here, the left does not like America as she was founded. And the left has been working to destroy our republic since I can't remember when. So it has been most of my life anyway. And so the left has lost their ever-loving minds on this whole situation at the White House. But they have also lost something else, too. From Garrison's blog came this one. You know, Greg Garrison, the one I used to always quote from his show. He no longer does the show, but he still has his blog. And the article on it was, "Help, somebody stole the left's memory." And this one is a good one, folks. Because we don't want to make these things over long, and because these quotes are so easy to paraphrase accurately, I will refrain from setting out on extended quotes. But here's one. Here's how some of the American left, most famous, or is that infamous, heroes of the 20th century have spoken out with remarkable clarity on the subject of illegal immigration over the past 25 years or so, and with that common unity of thought and speech have said the same things. Willie himself, along with super crook and former Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, intoned themes that made it clear that they were the enemies of illegal immigration. Clinton even said it from the podium of the House during its interminable State of the Union addresses, wherein he declared that illegal immigration was a drain on the economy and local infrastructure and had to be stopped. Harry, the con man, pretty much said the same thing in the late 90s, calling for strict immigration enforcement to stem the tide of illegals crossing into the U.S. Made some sense coming from a border state senator, didn't it? There was even one fine voice for civil rights, Barbara Jordan, a woman who garnered the goodwill and respect of folks from every corner of the political spectrum. She saw the flood as a huge attack on American workers, particularly those of color, and she made repeated statements in support of strict border enforcement and deportation. There are many examples, but the point is made. The left did not encourage, and in fact, from the very top of their food chain, charged that the illegal surge had to be dealt with. They were adamant, and their message came from all areas of the political and philosophical left. But that was then. This is, well, I'm not sure what this is. Now, the very idea of border control, of stopping the flow of arms and drugs to Hispanic bloody gangs, and of reversing the constant caravans of illegals through cartel-controlled human trafficking, has suddenly become blasphemy of the most odious kind. The Democrat Party platform screeched from every stump and microphone now indicts every tenet of their recent past demands as racist and xenophobic. Now, upon reading these prior declarations, those of us who live in the real world and in a mindset where words have meaning respond in unison. Huh? But I thought you said, oh, I see. That was then and this is now. So every common sense idea or expression about protecting us from illegal immigration, whether from the South or from the Muslim world, all full of murder and barbarism, has suddenly been transformed into a litmus test failure by all who still see borders as sovereign and societal safety as a top priority. we can see this as some kind of voodoo spell that has captured our brothers and sisters of the liberal ideology, or we can come to grips with the truth that they are, almost all of them, frauds. They have taken this turn because the media likes it, because they want to curry favor with more and more alien voters. I know there is supposed to be no such thing, but get ready, it's here. And because their shared loathing for their country makes every horrible idea their new mission. So again, and still, they are without script or true concern for these United States and all of us who think they're so wrong. And that, my friends, defines the left, all the wisdom preached by their leadership to the contrary is erased in favor of destruction of this republic. They now stand for illegal immigration. They want illegal immigration here. Hello, Alaskan. I'm glad to see you here. And I had a comment in the chat room that the left doesn't like Europe either. But the thing about that one is that the left is always telling us that we need to be more like Europe. So I'm not sure about that one. Last week, one of the things that happened was the banning from Facebook, or Facebook, as a friend of mine calls it, the Trump-loving duo of Diamond and Silk. This whole thing came to a head when Representative Marsha Blackburn asked Zuckerberg during his testimony if they really meant to ban certain people from Facebook because of their beliefs and who they support. And just like Obama and several other people that I could name but won't, Zuckerberg blamed something like an enforcement error for blocking Diamond and Silk. No, it wasn't, folks. It was just an if it was just an enforcement error, then it wouldn't have been followed up with an email to them saying that the blocking of them on Feast's book was not reversible. Even now, we know that Zuckerberg has said in front of Congress that they are working to overturn it. We will see. And until then, I hope Diamond and Silk continue, because they have a good message out there, and they got dinged like that just means that they are telling the truth, and the truth is hurting someone who doesn't want to hear it. You go, ladies. We who follow you are still here. The new movie, A Quiet Place, is an oddity from Hollywood for a number one box office attraction. The family-focused horror movie that has no profanity, no nudity, no sex, no gore, or R rating, and offers a subtle pro-life message. Ooh, I think Hollywood's slipping here. Directed and co-written, co-produced by John Krasinski, Jim from NBC sitcom called The Office, the $17 million PG-13 production rocked Hollywood last weekend with its $50 million box office haul, and it could crack $100 million mark this weekend, Forbes.com predicts. It's lack of the violent and sexual content so common in horror genre reflects and enhances the movie's themes of family unity, forbearance, and sacrifice. It's just the kind of movie that this family man would like to see. A Quiet Place stars Mr. Krasinski and real-life wife Emily Blunt as the parents of a deaf teenage girl and her younger brother, who were isolated on a farm amid an invasion of blind, slaughterous aliens that attack sound at its source. To survive, the family must remain ever quiet, using sign language to communicate as they walk barefoot on paths of sand and ash around the farm. It's not gory, it's not graphic, it's a compact 90 minutes, said Reels film critic Leonard Maltin. It is so relatable at every level. You feel what they're feeling. Even the contrivance device of a deaf daughter and the need for a family to know sign language is another point of entry. Mr. Maltin said the PG-13 rating has helped the film at the box office by allowing a wider and you can read into this younger set of moviegoers to view it. Good Buzz apparently did the rest, and I think that this is a movie that I may take my family to see. I'm glad to see that the Alaskan is in the chat room. The chat room is open, folks, if you're out there. And the call-in number to be on the show, if I can get it out here, is 646-478-5284. That hate group, Black Lives Lives Matter, has made a new demand. Never mind that most all their demands have been things from way in the past that do not even matter today, except that they make it matter. But they are now demanding, not asking, but demanding the removal of Confederate prisoner of war dead marker in Chicago Cemetery. Oh, what is next, you guys? All the markers for every white person ever buried there? You people in the BLM are making me sick with your petty things that matter nothing to everyone, even the blacks out there. And yes, you BLMers, I have a bunch of black friends, and not one of them agrees with you. I guarantee you that. Hello, Alaskan. It has been a long time. I've been working on getting conservative nation media back up. I went to Michael probably about 8 or 9 months ago and asked him if he wanted to help, if he wanted help or going again. And he said he was no longer interested and that if I wanted it, I could take it. Well, I'm not sure if I went over my head on this one, but I took it and I'm trying to bring it back. And I've got a few people who are interested in starting shows on getting things so far as just me. And I'm still working on this. I wanted to start doing my 2-hour show again tonight, but last week one of the problems that I had was my computer. I had put something into it that was not compatible with the operating system or something, and it slowed down to a crawl of molasses in the winter time. It was so slow that you could hear me click on my buttons in the chat room, and it'd be another 20 seconds before the thing would even start playing. I went out this weekend, starting after the show, actually went into the operating system of my computer and I erased it, which meant that everything I had on the computer, all of my CNM promos and all of my bumper music and everything that I used disappeared. So this whole week has essentially been used when I'm not at work, listening to the old shows and re-recording the PSAs and the promos and things that were needed to do this show. And then I've also been talking with several people about getting some advertising coming in here to help with that one. I've been talking with one of the people that used to have a show on CNM, and they are thinking about returning because they've had a lot of friends telling them that they should get their show back and going. So we're waiting anxiously on that one. That would be an awesome addition to CNM again. But I finally got my computer going, and essentially most of today and yesterday and the day before, I worked on getting my recordings, listening to all the old shows, trying to get all the PSA that were there re-recorded, trying to get all the promos that were there re-recorded. And there's still a few I haven't gotten, but at least I've got that going again, and my computer's actually a lot faster now than it was. So to me, that is a real good thing. I was talking about BLM, and from Breitbart.com comes this one. A Black Lives Matter group is demanding that a Chicago, and this is the same from the same thing as before, but this is the article from Breitbart about Black Lives Matter groups demanding that a Chicago cemetery remove a 123-year-old monument standing over a mass grave of over 4,000 Confederate prisoners who died in the U.S. Army-sponsored POW camp during the Civil War. Several groups, including Black Lives Matter, Black Youth Project 100, and Smash White Supremacy Chicago, have issued their demands, calling the memorial to the dead prisoners of war a monument to white supremacy, the Chicago Sun-Times reported. Now, I really don't understand, because if it's a memorial to supposed prisoners of war that were supposedly white, they're dead, for crying out loud. They're no longer around. This is just a memorial to the things that they did for this country. And so many people out there today are up in arms about our history. And 99% of the people out there who are up in arms about our history do not know a tickle damn about it. You know, there's a lot of groups like BLM that are constantly saying that America should be ashamed of her past because there was slavery in it. The problem with thinking like that, folks, is that time in history, slavery was prevalent all over the world. When it came to the United States, it was in the United States that stopped something that was prevalent all over the world within a decade or so. Within that time, people started talking against it. Within that time, people started making laws against it. Then the United States fought a war with itself against it to outlaw it. Finally, because of the United States, that it's outlawed pretty much all over the world now. But what these people are not realizing is that when the United States was formed, slavery in one form was commonplace all over the world. The United States has nothing to apologize for there, because it was the United States that got rid of that. But on this memorial, indeed the mass grave and the monument weren't even erected by supporters of the South, but were the creation of the U.S. government when the city of Chicago shut down an old city cemetery where the POWs were initially interred. Federal authorities chose the plot at Oakwood Cemetery and moved the bodies of 4,200 POWs there between 1865 and 1867. Democrat President Grover Cleveland and some 100,000 citizens attended the 1895 dedication ceremony of the monument that was paid for by a federal commission tasked with maintaining U.S. POW graves. Sticking point for the activist groups that they want the grave marker removed is that famed Black activist Ida B. Wells is also buried at Oakwood Cemetery, but her grave is only a small marker compared to the several hundred foot Confederate grave marker. We're not against remembering history, but the monument isn't the only way to remember this war. Andrew Koch of the group Smash White Supremacy Chicago told Sun-Times News, monuments are erected to honor or commemorate the highest held ideals of our country, and it's appropriate to have this near, and it's inappropriate to have this near Ida B. Wells, who has a tiny grave marker. Oh, freaking boo-hoo. If you wanted Ida B. Wells to have a big marker, you're probably rich enough to give her one, fella. But he also noted that this group started a door-to-door campaign in the majority black Greater Grand Crossings neighborhood to gather signatures on a petition demanding that the federal government destroy the POW monument. Still have that question, folks. If I had a sign saying the same thing as one person, as the one person, but changed it to honor white lives, do you think that would be allowed? No, I don't think so. So why is this allowed? This is just as racist, and you can't have it both ways anymore. It's racist, isn't it? Just saying. As such, it was announced Wednesday that National Guard troops would soon be deployed in border states to provide necessary assistance to an overworked and understaffed Border Patrol agency until such time as sufficient progress on the wall had been made. Border agent Art Del Sueto, I guess C-U-E-T-O, president of the Border Patrol Union in Tucson, Arizona, and vice president of the Border Patrol Council, said Wednesday on Fox News that border agents were very grateful with the support were being given by the president. As well, I'm sorry, I wasn't exactly sure what was going on here. I know that my voice was being heard, but probably not well. So, and I just looked at my microphone. It was off. I really hope, and Alaskan's still there. So I guess my voice was being heard, though probably not very much. I'm glad he stuck around until I got smart enough to look at my microphone and see that it was actually, in fact, turned off. But I got it on now, so hopefully that will solve any problem I might have had on that. To start that one, this, again, let's see. he said that border agents were very grateful with the support they were being given by the president, as well as Trump's focus on securing the border with a wall where necessary. The reason we lock our doors at night, he said, is because we love the people inside, not because we hate the people outside. And that right there is essentially the crux of the matter when it comes to the border wall. The wall isn't necessary to keep all non-American citizens out of the country. It is necessary to protect the American citizens who live within the country, which is pretty much the first overreaching duty of the U.S. government. We have somebody who's running the country now that's putting immigration at the forefront, Del Chueto said of Trump, and he welcomed the extra set of eyes the National Guard troops would provide, allowing Border Patrol agents to actually enforce the laws along the border, if they're even allowed to. This isn't the first time in recent years that the National Guard troops have been deployed to provide assistance to the Border Patrol agents, as similar deployments were conducted under both the administrations of former President Barack Obama and George W. Bush. But you didn't hear any groups yelling out, "Oh my God, Barack Obama's sending troops down to the border." You didn't hear governors from states like Oregon says, "I am not going to follow his orders." No, you didn't hear that kind of thing. According to Arizona Public Media, the National Guard troops that will be deployed to the border won't be making arrests or enforcing any laws, as they lack the special training or authority to do so. Instead, they will serve in a support role to the Border Patrol agents who are already there. That means they will be watching camera feeds, monitoring sensors, and fulfilling other administrative and logistical roles, which frees up the Border Patrol agents to conduct enforcement actions like the detainment and processing of illegal immigrants and criminal drug smugglers. By having that extra pair of eyes, you can take the agents away from some of the camera points, some of the sensors that actually, and actually be able to have them down affecting arrests and doing their jobs, he told the APM. And we have gotten to the bottom of the hour, and we will be right back after these messages.
50 feet, turn left. Why are you driving so slowly?
After a few drinks, I'm taking it slow.
Well, you're not fooling the cop behind you.
What?
Get ready to pay in 0.1 miles.
Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change?
Are you one of those people that the left likes to label as a dumb hayseed hick who believes in the Constitution, the Second Amendment, and freedom? Do you value your guns? Are you a traditional American patriot who is not afraid to voice your support for America? Do you wish that you had a way to get that patriotic message out? Do you dream of the day you can? Well, that day is at hand because Conservative Nation Media is looking for just such a person. Be a radio host for your very own patriotic venue to get your voice out on CNM. Choose your day and time, and presto, the left will go crazy because more of the truth they want hidden will get out. So do your part. Email us at conservativenationmedia2017@gmail.com to get started informing patriots like you who want their government to know that we know what is going on. That's Conservative Nation Media 2017, no spaces, at gmail.com. Then you can let the world know we will not be ruled.
Welcome back to the Dog Show. Up next, we have Satchmo. Satchmo is a member of the Shelter Pet Group. That's right, a group known especially for their couch snuggling, ball chasing, face licking, tail wagging, backyard hanging, and of course, companionship. And what breed would you say Satchmo is? I'd have to go with maybe a lavish terrier hound chihuahua looking kind of mix. Tremendous dog. I'd also like to point out Satchmo's coloring, a white, gray, brown, black brindle. Simply marvelous. You know, it's such a treat to watch a dog like this. Now, let's see him in action. Look how he makes eye contact with his person. That's actually known as the treat stare. How intuitive. And now he appears to be excited and turning in circles. Ah, the happy dance so common with this group. And finally, the loving face lick. It's great how he just gets in there and well licks. Fantastic. But really, the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Satchmo is to meet one. Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the NWCR show, and if you wish to call into the show, the number here is 646-478-5284, and now on with the show. Representative Trey Gowdy won't be attending former FBI Director James B. Comey's book signings anytime soon. A higher loyalty, truth, lies, and leadership has dominated news cycles late in the week as promotional interviews and excerpts from Mr. Comey's upcoming book were covered by the media, but the South Carolina Republican says it only serves to politicize the FBI. It's sad. He said, I can't think of anyone who has done a better job of politicizing the FBI than he has in the last 36 or 48 hours by talking about tanning bed, goggles, and the length of a tie, Mr. Gowdy said during the Fox and Friends interview on Friday. That is beneath the dignity of the office that he held. Disappointed. Parts of Mr. Comey's book focuses on half-white moons or white half moons under the president's eyes, possibly due to fake tanning, along with the size of his hands. Reporters have also covered the former FBI director's musings on the infamous Trump dossier regarding unsubstantiated claims of sex back in Moscow. Mr. Gowdy also said that Mr. Comey's personal memos should be released to the public as a means of settling questions about the agency's Russia investigation and Mr. Trump's reaction to it. I've read them. Very few members of Congress have, and even outside of Congress has read the Comey memos, he said. I think they ought to be released publicly, but they certainly ought to be released to Congress, he said to the House Judiciary Committee. A Higher Loyalty, Truth, Lies, and Leadership is scheduled to be released by Macmillan Publishers on April 17th. All I can say is, whoop-de-doo-dah, here is your participation trophy, as the chicks on the right says. Ben Shapiro takes on Penn students' push to defund conservative hate groups. I have always liked Ben Shapiro. He is one who can say anything to people, and he never apologizes for anything. This time he commented on the push by Penn State students to defund conservative organizations on college campuses, branding them as hate groups. Everything has been deemed hate speech on campus, the conservative commentator and roast and radio host said on the Ingram app angle. That Shapiro is right on this. Everything, if you look at it from the left's angle and the left's take on all of this, everything that we on the right do is hate speech. Everything that we on the right do is hate and destructive to America. They can't stop to see that what they are doing is actually the hate speech against America, because it's not only against America, but it's against everyday law-abiding Americans. And people just, it seems like that little bit of information there is completely lost to the left. They don't care. They don't seem to matter. It doesn't seem to matter to them. And because of their decision to hate everything that is American, to hate everyone that is American, to hate everyone that is law-abiding, and to take into their arms all the criminals and all of the people who are here illegally and who won't do anything to help America, pretty much tells me that watching, there would be no Democrats in office today. And the fact that there are, and that they've actually won a couple of elections in the past months, confuses me to no end. And maybe it shouldn't. As people just, people that are voting in these elections don't seem to understand. Sure, the government's giving them all kinds of stuff. Sure, the government is giving them welfare and giving them food stamps and giving them this and that and all these other things that the government supposedly gives to them. But the government without the taxpayers has no money. That should sink into somebody. I know it does to the right. Most of us know this. Most of us understand this. But the problem with that is that with all of the stuff that's going on in this nation and all of the laws that are being ignored by this nation's government and all of the things that are right that are now wrong is not just affecting America. It's affecting all over the world. But I found an article just to give you an idea on how far off the rails this nation is going, and for that matter, the world is getting, comes from this article from Conservative Tribune. The title pretty much says it all: Cheating Wife Sues Ex. And the article goes on to say that she is suing him for catching her when she was cheating on him. Are we kidding here, folks? She was in the wrong, but she found a lawyer to help her sue the husband who caught her cheating. Yep, that is how far off the rails this world is getting. Mary from Dallas, Texas, filed a lawsuit against background check site Persopo.com, that's P-E-R-S-O-P-O.com, this month in court. Her lawsuit alleges Persopo.com provided her husband with confidential information about her. Her husband divorced her based on this information. She wants Persopo.com to pay. Really? Nowhere in the lawsuit does it dispute if the information is accurate or not, nor that she was having an affair on her husband with multiple men. The case can be found on the Clark County website, case number 16A003140, Clark County Courts. Conservative Daily Post spoke to Mary's ex-husband, Frank, to figure out more about this strange situation. Frank had suspected his wife of cheating for a long time. She would constantly be gone for hours without answering her phone and never seemed to have an honest answer why she was gone. We had been married for 13 years and had our ups and downs, but this seemed different, Frank said. She never did stuff like this before, leaving at all hours and never telling me where she was going. Well, Frank finally had enough and decided to start doing some research online. He found Persopo.com, a background check site that can give you all sorts of information about someone. To use Persopo.com, all you need to do is type in a name and a state, and the system goes to work, pulling together every possible piece of information on them. Persopo.com not only pulls from public records, but many different social and dating websites around the internet, and it can give you a full picture of someone's online activity almost instantly. And this is how Frank caught his wife, Mary. They're suing online background check services like Persopo.com. They use the service to scope out friends, family, teachers, coworkers, or anyone they feel like, anyone that they feel could help. Searching is easy. All you have to do is type in a name and state they live in. Instantly, you get access to a huge amount of data from criminal records, property records. In Frank's case, he also found out quite a bit about of online activity from his wife. He said, when I searched her name, it came right up. She had accounts matching her name and email on cheatingwives.com, match.com, and many others. I just couldn't believe this was the woman that I had married. Persopo.com even included a screenshot of her match.com file where it states she is never married for relationship status. After confronting Mary about the situation, Mary did admit to Frank about the affair. She stated she had slept with at least four different men within the last 12 months. Frank promptly filed for divorce. Mary is not stating that Persopo.com ruined my life by revealing private information about me. She's currently seeking, and she is stating that private information about her. She is currently seeking damages. Now, here is the truthful part of this one, folks, and it isn't coming from Mary or the courts that took Persopo.com nor Frank ruined her life. She ruined it herself for having the affairs. I just wish the courts would tell her that, because that is what she needed to hear when she went to a lawyer. But she didn't. There's always those lawyers out there who are going to take money no matter what. what they have to wade into. I started the description with, are you a wit? Are you offended? I'm not. I am not a snowflake, or as I have begun to call them, no flakes. I like snow. And to denigrate something nice or something horrid just doesn't seem right to me. So I will no longer call the EA who are offended at everything snowflakes. They are no flakes. No, because to me, this world would be better off if easily offended, horrid little people who are easily hurt and against their will need to be just gone. Life isn't fair, but it is beautiful. And if you are too busy being offended at everything someone else does, then it makes life not beautiful anymore. And since Obama did almost everything he could to make the world something that whiners and wimps of the world could rule, then I think it's time to bring it back to the way that it should be. Survival goes to the fittest. I know in this world of today that many out there do not agree with that. But this world survived very well with that kind of thing, and it is going to hell in a handbasket really fast the way they have made it. So, offended? I am not. If you're human, there is always going to be things that you don't like or that doesn't like you. Get used to it, buttercup. Life will pass you by if you don't. And that is the truth about that one. The big kerfuffle over the federal order by our president to send troops to the border is constitutional, folks. And I've done enough reading of the Constitution to know this. But this article was written by Douglas V. Gibbs, my friend, author, and instructor of the Constitution and radio host. He says, the federal government has decided that the invasion from the South needs more than just a wall. President Trump is wanting to fill the border with troops, especially from the National Guard. California has been defiant sending in when it comes to sending troops, but not to comply. You know, and they're actually sending the troops, but not to comply with Trump's wishes regarding their duty. And Oregon refuses to comply, saying her troops will not be sent to the border, even though the border is a long ways from her state. Constitutionally, states do not have a choice in the matter. Sorry, no flakes. While the Democrats, or Democrats, as I like to call them, scream about posse comitatus, the reality is that law was written to keep federal government from using a standing army against the citizens of the United States. Illegal aliens do not fall into that category. Article 4, Section 4 of the U.S. Constitution requires that the federal government protect the states from invasion. Considering that it is defined as an unwanted encroachment and that the population crossing the border illegally includes terrorists and those who wish to bring harm to our population, not to mention that a large part of the border crossing illegals declare without remorse that they believe California to belong to Mexico, so they plan to overthrow America's hold on the land and perform white ethnic cleansing, there is no doubt in my mind what we are experiencing here is an invasion. Hello, Flyclad, Flycatch, and Lion 003. Glad, good to see you here. Article 1, Section 8 indicates that the Congress of the United States may call forth the militia to repel invaders. U.S. Code recognizes the National Guard as being part of the militia. United States Code, Title 10, Armed Forces, Subtitle A, General Military Law, Chapter 13, the militia, Section 311. Militia, composition and classes. A, the militia of the United States consists of all able-bodied males at least 17 years of age and except as provided in Section 313 of Title 32, under 45 years of age who are or who have made a declaration of intention to become citizens of the United States and of female citizens of the United States who are members of the National Guard. B, the classes of the militia are 1, the organized militia which consists of National Guard and the Naval Militia, and 2, the unorganized militia which consists of the members of the militia who are not members of the National Guard or the Naval Militia, which essentially is us. The National Guard, while it is essentially assigned to the states, may be called up for federal use, and there is nothing in the Constitution that allows the states to interfere. Article 2, Section 2 of the U.S. Constitution states, the president shall be commander-in-chief of the militia of the several states when called into actual service of the United States. Oregon and California are in open rebellion against the U.S. Constitution, something the state of California was already committing with their unconstitutional sanctuary laws. Did you hear that California and Oregon? No flakes? The Constitution says you can't, and you are defying the law of the land. And that was from my friend, Douglas V. Gibbs. And I said earlier in the show that the National Guard are sent to the southern border, have no power to detain or to arrest, that their function was mainly support in nature. But with that support, they can, the Border Patrol can also go and do some of the things that they are supposed to do, but can't right now because they're so tied up doing all the things that they're doing. So, you're right on that one. The National Guard has no power to detain or arrest, but they are there in a support situation. So that one's is right on that one. Sunday on CBS's Deface the Nation, Tim Kaine, you know, that one that was running as the vice presidential nominee of the Hildebeest, suggested that President Donald Trump said he was a king for authorizing U.S. military airstrikes in Syria on Friday. Kaine said President Trump is not a king. He is a president. He is supposed to come to Congress to initiate war. And on that one, I do have a soundbite of that.
These strikes illegal and reckless. The Trump administration says Article 2 of the Constitution gave the president clearly the powers to take this action. Why do you think they're wrong?
Margaret, I was interested to hear Ambassador Haley talk about our hope that we would get to a Syrian constitution. I hope President Trump will follow the American Constitution. It's very, very clear. Congress has the power to declare war, and only Congress. So if you're initiating war against a sovereign nation like Syria that hadn't declared war in the United States, it's only Congress that can do it.
Yeah. And he added, I'm very troubled that this is a president who seemed to understand the Constitution required when required when President Obama was in office, but now he thinks that this man that is in the White House now is a king and can do whatever he wants without Congress. Well, my idea on this whole thing is this. Why didn't Kaine or any of the other Democrats speak up when Obama did things that were clearly against the Constitution? Why weren't they saying that they hoped that Obama was using the American Constitution? And I can say that they didn't because at that point in time, Obama was doing just what the Democrats want, to destroy this republic. They have always wanted that. But now that we have a president who is after just the opposite, you know, saving this republic, they're all up in arms about it. Each and every time that Trump tweets anything or does anything, remember the other day when Pelosi or was it Feinstein who tweeted, that she wished that Trump would start acting like a president and stop tweeting everything. Well, I think one of the reasons why Trump is tweeting is because, for one thing, it's there. And for another thing, when he tweets, the American people get what he says. It doesn't go through the filter of the lamestream lying media like Feinstein wants it to. And I think I mentioned that too, that both Bush Jr. and Obama sent troops to the border. Now, where was the uproar about that? There was none. And you know, Tim Kaine, who is now saying that Trump thinks he's a king because he's sending troops down, you know, doing this kind of thing. Where was he when Obama was doing the same thing? It just really befuddles me to see that all of these Democrats out there seem to think that when their man is doing it, it's okay. But when the right has a person in there for doing it, it's not. Folks, it's the same exact thing. If it's right one time, it's right another time. If it's wrong one time, it's wrong another time. And that right there is why I think that the left is so off the rails right now. They want Trump to start acting like a president, like their idea of a president. Nothing in there was the fact that the Democrats are tweeting too, as if all this is okay if they do it for a Democrat agenda, but if it is from a Republicans, it is evil and the wrong thing to do. I can't say enough about this kind of thing, folks. We just cannot have it both ways. We can't. Either you're saving this great nation or you're not. Democrats definitely are not, period. Their every action and their every word tells us so, which is why it is so amazing to me that there are still Democrats holding office. And in the chat room, Lion 003 put in a link, and it's in there. If you want, if you're in the chat room, you can go in there and check it, and it takes you to a YouTube thing that says, "Is this the reason for quantum distortion or the Mandela effect? Must see." I've got to check that out as soon as I get a chance for a break here, which should be coming up really quickly here because it's coming up to the top of the hour. And this first hour actually went rather fast. It kind of surprised me at how fast it went. But I'm glad that there's people in the chat room today. I've got four in there for a little while. And yeah, there was three in there. Actually, there were four at one point in time. But we will be right back after these messages at the top of the hour. I know it's a couple of moments before that, but since we only have 30 minutes left after that one, we will be back and we will have the rest of the show after that one. And so we'll be right back.
If you're wondering where Rush goes to do his show prep, you found it.
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict, the war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com, to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com, to stand for America now.
Peek-a-boo, peek-a-boo, smile.
Smile, buddy.
Come on, smile. Oh, honey,
He's still not smiling.
Maybe he's not a smiler.
Yeah, maybe he's just not a happy baby.
Maybe he's just being a boy. You know how boys are.
Or maybe he's teething. Oh, poor baby. I think his gums hurt.
Maybe he's just tired.
Or maybe his tummy hurts. He didn't eat that much.
Maybe he's not ticklish.
You think maybe he's scared of the dog?
Maybe he'll outgrow it. Maybe it's a phase. Maybe he just doesn't like smiling.
Maybe he has autism, and we can definitely do something to help.
Maybe is all you need to find out more about autism. No big, joyful smiles by 6 months is one early sign. Learn the others at autismspeaks.org/signs or see a doctor today for an autism screening. The sooner it's diagnosed, the better. And it can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
It's Thursday night and you're grabbing drinks with some friends. Started off with a pitcher for the table, which quickly becomes two. There's pool. And there's the photo booth.
All right, everybody squeeze in. Say cheese!
Followed naturally by an order of wings. And another.
Can we get some extra ranch sauce?
Then there's the ceremonial nightcap.
So what are we doing this weekend?
And lastly, it's back to the car, which, if you're buzzed... could be the most expensive night of your life. Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
The show, and you can call in at the number 646-478-5284 if you want to be on the show. And by the way, the chat room is open too, and we've got several people in there right now. In the wake of the Allied missile strikes on the chemical weapons facilities in Syria on Saturday morning, the main question seemed to be what Russia's response would be and whether or not the missile attack signaled a deepening role for the United States in the complicated civil war in Syria. One question that wasn't oft addressed, however, was how everyday Syrians responded to the strikes against the Assad regime. Fox News' Holly Kay was on the ground inside Syria and collected reactions from some of the residents there. And while emotions were mixed, the general mood seemed to be in favor of the strikes on the three Syrian chemical weapons facilities. The explosions were so loud, and a 21-year-old opposition activist told Fox News after the attack, "We had no idea what was happening, but we immediately expected that the international coalition was targeting the regime's border locations. We hope for the future that strikes will expand to include all of Syria's regime and its supported militias' military locations," he added, "because the regime and its allies are committing massacres against the civilians every day," said Al-Hamawi, a 20-year-old business student in Damascus. He says he saw one of the rockets heading to its target before being shot down by Syrian anti-aircraft guns. It exploded in the sky. It was very clear. There were far explosions in the sky, but that was the clearest, Hamawi told Fox News. "I hope that this attack will achieve almost Assad's weapons destruction, which will rid the Syrian civilians of weapons that will be used against them." Another Damascus resident was early morning today, "I woke up because of the sound of Syrian anti-aircraft. I did not see the explosions, but I heard the sounds," he said. Some residents said that warnings from the Russians made the strikes less effective than they could have been. Assad, during the previous days, transferred many aircraft and weapons from their place to another one. Most of the targeted areas were empty, and only the buildings have been damaged, says Damascus resident Ayman Bakla, 50. Assad came out on television a little while ago going to his office with a message to the world that I am fine and your beating did not take effect. Other residents were afraid to speak out of possibility of retaliation. If we know the U.S. will stay here long term to protect us, there's no problem. We speak freely, resident of Manjibi said, or M-A-N-B-I-J, I think is what it's. But until then, we don't know what will happen. We don't want to see our people killed in retaliation. The situation is too sensitive. Overall, however, one can gather that the mood on the ground is not in favor of Assad, whose murderous regime has laid waste to an entire country during seven abominable years of civil war. In fact, the fact that Russia and Iran continue to support the regime is entirely indefensible. If they wished that people of Syria were to truly know peace, they would withdraw their support from the hideous monster at once. It's a telling sign that Syrians are fed up with both their government and those who would prop it up. And that one is one that makes me think a lot, you know, about the things that the left on the in this country are allowing. An article that kind of strikes home with me. I have two daughters living here at home with me and their mom. This article sent a chill down my spine. And this one was not in America, but it was really close. And this kind of thing, if the left gets their way, Flycatch said, the strike was pre-planned days in advance, and both Assad and the Russians got out of the way. Yeah, unfortunately, it shouldn't have been pre-planned like that, but I guess the humanitarian ways that we have had forced on us make it so that, you know, no matter how bad the people are, we've got to warn them before we kill them or something like that. But this article that I was going to be reading, it's the headline of it says, parents face criminal charges after tying up predator creeping on teen daughter. Now, I got my own reactions to this, but now when I first read that one, my first reaction was, what the, you know, WTF? I mean, when does an alleged sexual predator become the victim? Never in my eyes. After all, the predator is the one doing the wrong things. I am not according, but not according to British Columbia, Canada. According to CTV News, an adult man allegedly came to a home to meet the 13-year-old minor there. That is when the girl's mother and stepfather tackled the man and restrained him with zip ties. Now, that would be tame compared to what I would do, but that being said, in a video posted to Facebook Live, the girl's mother can be heard berating the 28-year-old Port Alberni, British Columbia man as he lay face down on the floor with his hands bound behind his back, CTV explained. He came to my house to meet my 13-year-old daughter to F her. He wanted to be her first, the mother declared in a smartphone camera footage. We effing tackled him and zap-strapped him and called the police. Now, it might have been an open and shut case if that was all there was to the story. Man comes to house. Man preys on underage daughter. Man gets body slammed. However, the incident was not that clear-cut, according to the authorities. CTV News reported that the girl's parents took matters into their own hands and set a trap for the suspected predator, despite the fact that the police had told them not to. Now, I don't care. I think that the parents actually showed amazing restraint to this man. And I myself do not blame the parents and feel they actually restrained themselves in a lot for the benefit of this man. He does, after all, still have his family jewels, something he would no longer have if he had come to my house with those intentions for my daughter. The mother claims she asked police to investigate the man 6 weeks ago when she discovered explicit messages sent to her daughter's Instagram account. She said the police told her to block the man and forget it, the Canadian news station explained. Frustrated by the response, she set up the meeting. The mother said she had asked police to be present during the ambush, but claims the authorities would not help. About the situation, the stepfather said, "This is ridiculous. Shouldn't a guy be able to protect his own family in his own house?" Amen to that one, Dad. It seems the laws everywhere are getting distorted and ruined, making the victims the criminals and the criminals the victims. No wonder people everywhere are in such a state of madness and wanting to take it out on everyone in authority. The authority is not doing their jobs. But that is actually kind of neither here nor there on that one. if you follow politics intently like I do, the last week likely feels like as if you were picked up by a tornado on Monday and then pretty much spat out on Saturday. In a seven-day period, which was bookended with the Syrian chemical attack on its own people on one Saturday and an allied strike led by the U.S. against Syria for that attack on the other Saturday, in between there was a raid on Trump lawyer Michael Cohen and Mark Zuckerberg testifying before both houses of Congress. With all the kerfuffle over that, you may have missed Mike Pompeo's confirmation hearings for Secretary of State position, or for that, the fact that Democratic Senator Cory Booker of New Jersey decided to use the occasion to badger the current CIA director over his religious beliefs. Now, this. Badgering him over his religious beliefs? In a clip from the confirmation hearings that would have been the biggest story of most any other week, Booker began by asking whether Pompeo, who has taught Sunday school in the past, believes same-sex relationships are morally wrong. Actually, all he would have to do is read the Bible, and he would know, but he goes on like this.
I have a minute left because I do want to give you a chance to speak about your comments on gay and lesbians. You said in a speech that mourning an America that endorses perversion and calls it an alternative lifestyle, those are your words, is being gay a perversion?
Senator, I when I was a politician, I had a very clear view on whether it was appropriate for two same-sex persons to marry. I stand by that.
So you do not believe it's appropriate for two gay people to marry?
Senator, I continue to hold that view. It's the same view.
And
for the record,
people in the State Department, I met some in Africa, that are married under your leadership. You do not believe that should be allowed?
Senator, I believe it's the case we have married gay couples at the CIA. You should know I treated them with the exact same set of rights.
You believe that gay sex is a perversion? Yes or no?
Senator, if I can, if
yes or no, sir.
Do you believe that
gay sex is a perversion? Because it's what you said here,
Senator,
in one of your speeches. Yes or no? Do you believe gay sex is a perversion?
Senator, I'm going to give you the same answer I just gave you previously. My respect for every individual, regardless of their sexual orientation, is the same.
I will conclude by saying, sir, you're going to be Secretary of State of the United States at a time that we have an increase in hate speech and hate actions against Jewish Americans, Muslim Americans, Indian Americans. Hate acts are on the increase in our nation. You're going to be representing this country and their values abroad in nations where gay individuals are under untold persecution, untold violence. Your views do matter. You're going to be dealing with Muslim states and on Muslim issues. And I do not necessarily concur that you are performing the values of our nation when you can't even, when you...
Okay, I had to stop that idiocy. It seems that no matter what is going on in this nation, the left just can't get it through their heads that the Bible says it's a sin. God says it's a sin. And the right can't seem to come up with the right answers. I mean, to me, the right answer would have been Yes, that is my belief. Yes, it is a sin. Yes, God says it's a sin. Leave it at that. But all the stammering and hemming and hawing of the answer just really is almost as defying as Booker saying, trying to get him to say what he had already said several times, as a matter of fact. I am actually through with trying to see if there is intelligence on the left. Obviously, there isn't. At least not in Washington, D.C. And the sad part about that is, for the right, a lot of that is very true, too. So, I don't know. We will be right back after these important messages. Stay tuned, and we will be right back.
80 million voters can pull the wrong lever, and it's still the wrong lever.
Vietnam was the war where American troops showed valor and bravery on the battlefield, but where the enemy was not only like ghosts in the jungle, but they were superstitious too. This gave rise to the Vampire Patrol, six men who fought the whole war together, spreading death, destruction, and vampire voodoo lore into the ranks of the Viet Cong. Now, years later, Matt Joseph works as a private investigator in Tucson, Arizona, while his best friend and former commander of the Vampire Patrol is chief of police of the South Tucson precinct. The job that gets Matt on the case is one that brings the Vampire Patrol back from the past and places it smack dab in the middle of the present, taking him to a small town on the Indian reservation called Lukachukai in northern Arizona. There, a mountain named Root Butte not only holds mystery, but a cloud of fear that oozes out of it into the night sky. Matt is the one to find out what is going on here, and without becoming part of the nasty plan involved. Night Owls is the first in a new series of mysteries with Matt Joseph, Private Eye, and is on sale now at https://www.createspace.com/486-9187. This book is also available in digital form. That's Night Owls, a Matt Joseph mystery by Robert P. Garding, and I approve of this message.
All right, class, let's hear what everyone did this weekend. Jill?
Well, I raised my older sister to a big oak tree. It was at least 100 years old. My mom said I must have set a record or something. And then we went down by a stream and perched up on this huge rock and saw all of these little minnows swimming around way below us. And then I rescued my little brother from an evil slug king who was guarding him in the bush fortress. And my sister and I brought him back to our super twig fort for safety. And then we all laid out and told stories until it got dark. And the Big Dipper led us all the way home.
Where were you, Jill?
Yeah. We went to the forest. It's not that far away. Anyone want to come this weekend?
Ask your parents to take you and your friends to the forest this week and find the fun, adventurous you. It's closer than you think. Check out discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Been looking for an online gathering place? You know, a familiar screen does everything you're used to, except give you grief for being a conservative? You gotta try the Tea Party community. At TPC, you'll know how everything works from the very first minute, and you'll probably find a lot of friends who are already there. Organize, communicate, share ideas, upcoming events, pictures, and videos. The Tea Party community connects and empowers like-minded, politically conservative people. Like you, sign up today at TeaPartyCommunity.com.
Okay, after doing all the rock and roll I've been doing most of the show, I decided to kind of end it with that one. Loggins and Messina doing a Don Gibson song. that was actually kind of fun. Border Patrol agents told Breitbart, Texas, that MS-13 gang member who presented himself as an unaccompanied minor and the group he traveled with were part of the Central American migrant caravan. Individuals from and portions of the caravan are now arriving on U.S. soil. Agents assigned to the Yuma station came upon a large group of 61 illegal immigrants who crossed the border Monday afternoon near the San Luis port of entry in southern Arizona. The illegal border crossers consisted of a single Mexican national, 59 Guatemalans, and one Salvadorian who claimed to be an unaccompanied minor, according to the information provided to Breitbart, Texas, by Yuma Sector Public Affairs officials. We questioned the members of the group and confirmed that they are part of the caravan of Central Americans who are reported to be traveling to the U.S. Border Patrol spokesman Justin Callinger told Breitbart, Texas, after taking a group of 61 foreign nationals into custody, agents determined that one of the people claiming to be an unaccompanied minor was actually an adult. The Honduran man who confessed to being a member of MS-13 and said he was headed to Los Angeles. Callinger noted that the Yuma sector has seen an uptick in larger groups, mostly from Guatemala and the Honduras. Those of the group of 60 migrants, more than 90% were unaccompanied minors or family reunites, he explained. The juveniles ranged from ages from 1 year to 17. Border Patrol agents determined that if one of the people claiming to be an unaccompanied minor was actually an adult, the man also confessed to being a member of MS-13 and said he was headed to Los Angeles. Officials identified the Salvadorian as an 18-year-old Herbert Giovanni Argueta Chavez. The MS-13 gang member told agents he was trying to separate from the gang, Border Patrol officials stated. Callinger noted that the Yuma sector has seen that uptick in larger groups. And of the, Breitbart, Texas editor-in-chief Brandon Darby and journalist Ildefonso Ortiz reported on March 30th that the migrant caravan of more than 1,500 families who were making their way from Central America through Mexico with the ultimate destination, the U.S. border, was actually on its way. And the group is part of the Via Crucis Migrante 2018. I'm not sure if I got that one right, but the caravan began on March 25th. The caravan was expected to make its way to Tijuana in April, where they would request refugee status. And, that is essentially what we have for today's show. That was actually the last article that I had for today's show. But we here at Conservative Nation Media are doing our best right now to try to figure out a way to get Conservative Nation Media back and up and going like it used to be. My intro, which I have done by Kathy Hinners, who was a member of the original CNM. She had her show on there called Daily Roll Call. She is the one who does my intro, and I've got her doing another one for me now, because the one that I'm using was put together when I was with Traditional American Movement, Traditional American Network, and I was with them until CNM fell into my lap, and now I'm trying to rebuild that one. But my intro is going to be re-recorded soon, I hope. Kathy wasn't able to do it for a while because she was in the process of moving, but hopefully soon she'll have that taken care of, and then I'll have my updated thing. We've been doing our daily Rush type updates on Facebook Live daily, Monday through Friday, and it usually happens about 2:30 in the afternoon Eastern time. My last one that I did on Friday has already had 540 hits on it. And at the beginning of the week, we didn't have very many, which was kind of a strange thing, because about that time was when Diamond and Silk thing kind of hit. The one on last Friday, I think, had 64 hits. And then the one after before that had 56. But we had one a couple of Fridays ago that actually had over 1,000, which was a big hit for us. And we're hoping that kind of thing continues. But we're doing them on Facebook Live daily, Monday through Friday. And we're in the process of trying to figure out how to get a Saturday weekly update going, so we'll have something going every day of the week. And I know that's not going to be an easy feat, but we're already doing every day but Saturday. So if we can get that one going, we will have every day of the week covered with Conservative Nation Media and New Wise Conservatism Radio. We are running out of time. We're at the downside of the 727. I wish to thank Flycatch and the Alaskan for being here. It was great to see both of you in the chat room. Colerton, I guess, C-O-L-E-O-R-T-O-N, was here at the beginning and made a comment. The left doesn't like Europe either, but I'm not exactly sure they thought of that. Lion below 3 was here for a while. And we were happy to see all of them and all of you. And we hope that you will be back again next week. And we will be here next week. And we will get things going again. Hopefully, we've got another show coming along soon, as we've got another person who is interested and used to be with CNM. So maybe we can get our listenership back and we can get our bunch of shows back too, so we're working on that. And we're glad that you guys were here, and we have to always end our show with one line that a good friend of mine who was part of a group that I used to belong to used to always say. He would always say, "We will not be ruled." See you again on Monday, and I'll be back here again next Sunday. Have yourself a good week, and God bless you all. God bless America.